All right, so we left off in the middle of this Tosfos, which touches on pretty much all the rest of the topics that I wanted to get to in Yanni Kibbutz Avinim. Never ended up printing up my notes. All right, whatever. So we discussed the first part of the Tosfos, which is that you have this whole circular shaila. If you have avedas atzmo and avedas chavero and kibud aveim, so you end up doing your own aveda. But Tosfos along the way made that hanacha that we're talking about a case where the father told you asok bechvodi ba'al tachzor. I want you to service me, and I don't want you to return the lost object. That's the part of Tosfos where he suggests that it has to be that way, because otherwise you wouldn't have to listen to him. So we asked the question last time, why is it that you wouldn't have to listen to him otherwise? So what were the two possibilities? Anybody remember we suggested two possibilities? Why wouldn't you have to listen to him if he just told you, stam, don't return it? So both answers are alluded to later in the Tosfos. One case is alluded to later in the Tosfos, that if your father, stam, does something wrong, that makes him into a Rasha, and you don't have to be mechabit him if he's a Rasha. Yeah.
Is the other one just, there's certain things that he's just not, he can't tell you that's covered if you do this for me? Just
right, and the other possibility seems to be that it's not called kibud aveim, just stam to tell your kid to do whatever you want him to do. That's not officially kibud aveim. So this is a very important distinction that we have to draw. Is that really true? Is it really true that whenever your father tells you to do something, you have to listen? Or it's only specific things your father's allowed to tell you to do that you have to listen? So that's a good question. But Tosfos seems to be saying, right, that he says over here that v'nira l'rish yaniach kvod aviv avedas chaver v'yasuk ba'avedas. So you have to do your own aveda. Daha da'amar kibud aveim. Kibrav kodem, sorry. Hainu dafka lahaniach la'aviv lasos ritzono b'mamono lefishezeu gufa kibud. Says, what does it mean to give your father kavod from your money? Again, this is going within the mandarma that we don't paskin like, who holds Michel Ben, that you have to pay for kibravim. So he says, what does that mean? It means that the kavod that the son does is that, here, dad, here's my checkbook. If you want to do things that benefit you with my money, you're allowed to do so. You want to send me to the store to buy groceries, I will pay for the groceries. Right? Avo ba'ave daso, kevin she'ina av nene ba'ave da atzma. The father is not getting any real hana from you not getting your lost object. He's not getting any hana from you losing out on that money. Eina ben chayev lahafsid ave daso b'shvil aviv. So you don't have to actually lose out on the lost object because of your father. So that seems to be a case where kibud aveim doesn't cover that nekuda. It doesn't cover the idea that your father's just allowed to tell you, it makes me happy when you don't get your lost object back, and therefore you're chayev to lose the money in order that I should be happy. No. Even in a case where the father's literally saying to the son, I want you to come over and take out the garbage, but dad, if I come over and take the garbage out, I'm not going to be able to go get my lost object back. The guy said he's in town one time only, and he wants to give it to me right now, otherwise I'm not going to be able to do it. So you're not, even if you say, Michel Ben, that the son has to lose money in order to do kibud aveim, he's not mechuyev to listen in that case. So that seems to be what we're saying, that kibud aveim is limited to certain cases where you're actually chayev to service your parents. It's not limited to, it's not this overarching, your parents are just allowed to tell you whatever they want and you have to do it. So that seems to be the opinion of Tosfos. But then Tosfos gives a different case where he says, and we see this from the case of where the father throws the wallet into the ocean, right? He throws it away. You're not allowed to yell at your father after he does it. You have to say the father is getting some benefit from that. Kigon Shizorko Liyam Lamirma Imasa Inshi Base, he's somehow going to show people that he's a tough disciplinarian by throwing away all the money. We gave some weird examples. I'm not saying it's good parenting, but let's say the father considers that to be good parenting. He thinks he wants to show the kids that, let's say the kid displayed bad midos. So the kid shows that all he cares about is money. So the father's trying to show him, I don't care about money. Money's not important. There are other things in life that are more important than money. Look, I'm taking all this money, I'm throwing it away. And he throws the money into the ocean and it's lost. So then he wanted to teach him something. So there's some level of kibud av va'eim in that throwing away of the money. The ilav achi in bechina mashlich, if he's just throwing it away stam, rashahu de over beval tashchis, that makes him into a rashi, violated baal tashchis. So I feel hecha de shogiku umashlichu bechamasam ikhamakum nene bashlachas ayna kimishamachin lachlima. So Tosso sounds like he's doing a little bit of a 180 there, because he says, what about the case of Zorak Arnaki? It sounds like there's no, you know, kibud av va'eim in that. There's no hanoah for the father in that. And he says, nah, there's a little bit of hanoah for the father in what he does. So now all of a sudden, Tosso seems to say, wait a minute, there may be a case of limited hanoah, but how limited? It almost sounds as if you can draw up any amount of hanoah whatsoever that the father might be getting, that's already called kibud av va'eim. So how many cases on earth are left that the father's not going to get any hanoah from? It's very limited now. the father won't get any hanoah from whether you do or don't find your lost object. So now you've taken this idea that kibud av va'eim is limited to cases where the parents will be directly neneh, and you've said any amount of hanoah is good enough to make it kibud av va'eim. So Tos is not so helpful in determining which way is which. It's not so easy to see whether or not Tosis is saying the only time you don't have to listen to your parents is when they're just stam telling you nonsensical things because that makes them some kind of a rasha. Or that you don't have to listen to them when they're not getting any direct hanoah. But direct hanoah is so broad that you're a little bit stuck. So that's a question. What is Shitas HaTosfos? And in fact, if you look, if you have the Makorosh, you have the Makorosh sheet from that I gave out originally for that? If you look in the Makna, right, so if you look in the Makna, it's on the back of the first page. So you skip to like six lines in or something. V'nira da tosfos lo nistapku l'dina mayasu malachto meruba me'avidaso me'avidas chaveru kevin depotter me'ashevas aveda mishim malachto, etc. No, that's not what I was looking for. V'hod amra Torah da shevas aveda adifa mikibur av haino ba'aveda meruba mishel malachto ba'oso shah imkein kevin detzarech laniach malachto v'troch b'shvil ha'shevas aveda nidcha gam ken kibur av v'lo ratzwa tosfos You see this logic that the Makna is using? It's called hanoah to the father if what? If the father tells you, son, I want you to miss work to serve me. I want you to miss work and come to work for me. That's also called hanoah. Is that true? He's getting hanoah from the goof of the fact that the son is not going to work because he's servicing the father instead? You hear that idea? Well, if he says, kosher, amash kasabnu le'el b'shem haritva gabi dama ben nesina, da'afil amadam mishal ab, mikol mokom, minias revach lo'avi pseida, k'nekaimel gabi cholamoed, etc. So remember, we spoke about this last time from the Rishonim that say that how could Dama ben Nesina have lost out on all that money because you're not mechuyev to lose money to serve your parents. So the answer is no, there's a difference. If you already have money, like the Hashavas Aveda case, it's my money, I'm going to look for it. Or you say, no, I could make a lot of money if I go to work today, but I'm not necessarily allowed to not serve my parents because of the possibility of making money. The money is not considered mine. It's not in my pocket right this minute. So I'm not necessarily allowed to ignore my parents to go make money, but to not lose money, then I don't have to lose. That's the pshat Mishel Av. Yeah.
So why is the story so great? Because his father didn't even ask, or because he's not Jewish? Or?
Well, he said it. The story's great because in the end of the day, meaning why is the story of Rabbi Tarfon great? The Rabbi Tarfon, when his mother needed to get out of bed, he would bend over like a stepstool. Why is that a great story? Right? What makes him so great?
Shows like to what extent he would go to.
Because he went to a tremendous extent. Meaning everyone needs to do Kibbutz Avim in similar parameters, but in the end of the day, it's hard. It's hard to do it. So Dama ben Nesina was in a very difficult situation. On one hand, I know I'm mechuyev to do it. On the other hand, it's hard. What do you mean? You're going to tell me I'm going to lose out on $500 million because I don't want to wake up my parents? That's crazy. So it's obviously, by the way, it's important to keep in mind. I don't know who Dama ben Nesina's father was. I mean, it could be he was already a very rich man. I don't know. But it's important to note, halacha lemaisa, if your parents would want you to make that money, or they would want to make the money themselves, then you're allowed to wake them up, because that would be their wish. That's why I said, that's what the poskim say. So are you allowed to wake up your parents if it's time for mincha? Let's say your dad says, your dad didn't tell you to wake him up for mincha, but you're pretty sure he wants to go to mincha. So are you allowed to wake him up for mincha? So the answer is yes, because you have the right to assume he wants to go to mincha. And you're allowed to wake him up for that. It's not like the case of Dama ben Nesina where he had the right to assume somehow that his father didn't care about the money. So if your father would want to make the money, then you're supposed to wake him up. But Lamaisa, in the end of the day, let's say you know your father doesn't care about the money. Or it's not about your father making the money. It's about you making the money. Your father doesn't care if you make money. So there it was a tremendous test to not wake him up. But not because it's not a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv, but sometimes the chiyuv gets really hard. You know, your mom says, I want to get into bed now, please bend over. It's hard. I'm like, all right, I'll give you a boost, mom. No, I only want to go on a, your hands are not a steady enough surface. I only want to go if you bend down, I'll step on your back. No, it's not everybody's going to agree to that. Not everybody's going to agree to that. So it's not that there's less or more of a chiyuv, it's just that it becomes difficult to accomplish. But you see here, the Machna is understanding that this is a very broad definition. It's a very broad definition of what constitutes kibbutz avim. Basically, anything they want is kibbutz avim. So on one hand, Tosa is saying, no, it's limited. Limited to what? Pretty much anything they want. So it's not so limited. It's just saying Tosa's real chilik is direct versus indirect benefit. Right? If the parents are going to get direct benefit from it, no matter what that benefit is, they're officially, you're mechuyev to do it for them. But if they're not going to get direct benefit, so then you're not mechuyev to do it for them. So that's the only real chilek that Tosfos draws. And this becomes a big discussion in the later Rishonim. And the later Rishonim seem to suggest that for example, the Tshuvas Marik, I didn't put it on the Makoros, I don't know if anybody got that far, but the Tshuvas Marik has a discussion. Let's say your parents want you to, this is pretty common, parents want you to marry a certain girl, or dafka not to marry a certain girl, and you want to marry a different girl. So you have to listen. So Tshuvas Marik suggests, no, you don't have to listen to your parents. His actual case that he was talking about is a different case where he took a neder about something related to Shiduchim, but within that discussion, the Tshuvas Marik says, you're not mechuyev to listen to your parents in these inyanim because they have, this is beyond the scope of kibbutz avim. What shaychus does it have to do with servicing your parents? Now you could say, what are you talking about? Your parents have tremendous hanoah from a person getting married. They have tremendous hanoah from the right kind of wife and the grandkids, etc., etc. So, what?
Visiting
and stuff like that. So you see, it's very relevant to the direct hanoah of the parents. But the Marik says, no, it's not in the purview of kibbutz avim. That's not considered part of the chiyuv. It's outside the realm of what they're allowed to do. They're allowed to tell you to service them. they're allowed to tell you to respect them, but to actually tell you whom to marry, they're not allowed to do it. And that's actually the last halacha that the Rama quotes in Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em. In the end of the siman, siman Resh Mem is Kibud Av Va'Em. In the end of the siman, the Rama writes that there's two cases here. Number one is the Shana Bet Shaila, right? So first they throw in the other thing, but then coming in the Mechaber, it says that Talmid Sherotzel Alechas Lamakom Acher Shehu Boteach Sheyira Simin Bracha B'Talmudo Lefnei Harav Shesham. So the student thinks he's going to do a much better job learning Torah from the Rebbe that's in this other place. He said, and the father is worried about him. It doesn't even say he doesn't want him to go learn there. It says he's worried about him. Why is he worried about him? Because he's afraid he's going to be caught up in a pogrom or anti-Semitism or something. Or the rockets, right? That's a much more. They have a parent who's worried about the rockets that are falling in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, I don't want you to go to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. I want you to go to yeshiva in America. So no, I can only learn it well in Eretz Yisrael for various reasons. So he says, Eino tzarech lishmo l'aviv bazeh. You're not chayiv to listen to your father when it comes to this. That's case number one. Case number two, now the Rama comes in. V'chein ima'av mocha beben lisa eza isha sheyachbots ba haben. If the father is complaining about a particular girl that the son wants to marry, he says, don't marry this girl, so that he doesn't have to listen. He doesn't have to listen. So this is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and this is based on, if you look in the Bir Agra here, the Bir Agra says, this is all based on the Tshuvas Marik. That's the source for the Shita of the Ramah. And the idea is seemingly that this is outside the purview of what is considered Kibud Av Va'Em, whom to marry, even though clearly it does have a great deal of effect on the relationship between the father and the son. Still, it's not something that's officially part of Kibud Av Va'Em. Kibud Av Va'Em is a very strict definition. It's something which is, you know, you're supposed to service your parents, and you're supposed to not disrespect your parents, or pro-respect, right? You're not supposed to sit in their place and contradict them. Ah, you're contradicting them by marrying somebody else. No, it means don't contradict them in everyday conversation. Don't contradict them. Father says it's sunny outside. You know, he's not saying, I heard the weather report says it's going to rain. Right? Don't be such a smart guy that you have to interrupt your parents every second to tell them what's what. That's what it means to have Mora Avaim. And Kibud Avaim means if your father needs some help, you got to give him some help. But if he tells you, I want you to learn Dafka in this yeshiva, not that yeshiva, and even that, it's not, this is, by the way, this is not the same halacha as what comes up earlier in Shulchan Aruch, where it's just the Mechaber himself just writes simply, Talmud Torah is Gadol Mikibud Avaim. Which halacha is that? That's halacha Yud Gimel, Sif Yud Gimel. Earlier in the Siman, it writes Talmud Torah Gadol Mikibud Avaim. Talmud Torah is more important than Kibud Avaim. So then it says that it, over there in the Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat Mches writes Haynu Dafka Im Tzorich Lele Chutz La'ir. That's talking about, and it is Kamosha Kasu B'Sif Chafei. That's talking about a case in Sif Chafei where you want to go learn outside of the city. If you're learning and you're living in the same city as your parents, so if your father calls you up and says, I want you to come over and take out the garbage, I'm in the middle of morning Seder, too bad, go take out the garbage and then yachso l'toraso. That's the Lashon of the Rambam that says you should do the mitzvah and then go back to your learning. Fine. And that's the answer to the Maknas Kasha. We didn't do that Makna. But so you see that there's a concept first of Talmud Torah is greater than Kibud Av Va'Em. And if you want to learn in Yeshiva A and your father says, no, you can't go to that yeshiva because then you're not going to be around, take out the garbage every time I call you. So you don't have to listen. You're allowed to go to that yeshiva where you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You're going to be mevatel the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em pretty much completely because you're not going to be around to help out. You're not going to be around to serve your parents. And then also when you're not even listening to begin with. you're going to the yeshiva against their wishes. Then later in Sif Chafei, the Mechaber says, if you think you're going to have more of a Simen Bracha where you're learning elsewhere, so then you're allowed to go there even though your father's worried about you. It's not talking about Stam where he says you should ditch yeshiva to come help me. He's worried about you. He thinks it's going to be dangerous. So you don't have to listen under those circumstances. So there's two ifs that are existent in that particular halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Number one, it says he's a boteach sheyira simen bracha betalmudo lifnei harav shesham. He is confident that he's going to have more hatzlacha where he's going. So you're not always correct when you think it's going to work. And number two, v'chein. Something I was makabel from my rebbeim is that in these cases when let's say a guy wants to go back to yeshiva to study and his parents are each lahava against it or whatever, so one of my rebbeim once said that. He learned by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he said, in those cases, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to tell the guys, he said, try very hard to convince your parents. They should really try hard. And if in the end of the day you're not successful, he said, then you should go home. So my Rebbe said, he said, I don't know what he's talking about. It says in Shulchan Aruch not that way. But kach kibalti mirabosei, that's what you're supposed to do. You should try to convince them, and if you can't convince them, then you should go home. Ania's deity, I think it's based on the lashon of, the Shulchan Aruch here, that this person, this individual, says Talmud sherotzel aleches lamakom acher shehu boteach sheyira simen bracha. He is confident. He's very sure that he's going to see a great deal of bracha in his learning over there. Right. So he says. So he says that's talking about a case where you're right, but if let's say you're not right, or let's say you think you're right, but you're not necessarily going to be right. What do I mean by that? I mean that sometimes I've seen this. I've seen people send their relationship with their parents into such disrepair that they end up overall just functioning on a much lower level. They just in life they function on a lower level. Most people's parents have a lot to offer them. And even if your parents, you think, or not your parents, but somebody else's parents, don't have that much to offer, but just the relationship itself has a lot to offer. The relationship itself is a very meaningful relationship in your life. And you think, oh, I'm going to have such a simen bracha because I get to learn one more years, two more years, 20 more years. But in reality, the quality of your overall learning of Torah might suffer because you've severed this relationship or you've sent it into a state of disrepair where you're not going to learn as well as you think you are. People only learn when they're in a good frame of mind. And if this person is constantly thinking about what the amount of damage he did to his parents, so he's not going to be able to succeed so much in learning. And maybe he'll succeed this year in learning, but had he had a good relationship with his parents, he could have succeeded for the next 10 years in a much better fashion. And now he's not in such a good situation. He's not able to learn as well. It's not everything is so black and white in the moment. Sometimes you have to look at a bigger picture, and you have to realize that if I give in here and there, a lot of times parents will say, oh, if you come go to college now, then I'll let you go back after you. I'll pay for you to go back after you finish college. I got to learn now after I finish college. Who knows what's going to be? Now that's not an untrue statement. A lot of times you want to learn now, and you don't want to learn after you finish college. But I personally know many people who were not allowed to go, at that point. And then when they finished college, they went back. If they would have gone for a regular year afterwards, they would have learned, nicely, whatever. And then they would have put. They were so much more serious-minded when they finished college, and they were so much more motivated that they ended up going and learning so much more and so much better. And at that time in their life, they were able to, segue into their lifestyle in a much more productive way than had they just gone Shunabet and then come back and gone to college at that point. It really, every situation is different. Now, don't get me wrong, there are other people who planned on doing that and then got to college and didn't learn two words for 4 years or whatever and then didn't go back, because why would they? So the you have to each situation is unique. You have to use seichel. Now, just to be clear, the Pesachei Tshuva over here quotes from the Chamudei Daniel. He says, "Nira dehu adinam afilu safek lo shema yirasim brachu mutter." Says it's still mutter even if you only think you might succeed more. It's not necessarily that you're going. You have to be so confident. So what I said in the lashon of Shulchan Aruch is not 100% true, according to the poskim, because of od acher echad hayerotz lispal beis haknesset shemispalin shem Yosef bekavana. So similarly, if a guy wants to daven in a shul where it's a much nicer davening, and his mom wants him to go to their family shul where it's not a, such a nice davening, you're not mechuyev to listen. So these are all things that need to be approached with real seichel, with real understanding of, you know, a lot of times you can come to some kind of a compromise shita. It's not so poshut. It's not so posh either way, but and then similarly in the case where the father wants him to marry a particular girl or doesn't want him to marry a particular girl, there's an interesting comment of the Netziv in his tshuva. So he has in the Meshiv Davar, he says, let's say it's worse than that. It's like this. I don't know exactly what the mitzias would be in modern context, but let's say the girl, she's not just that the parents don't like the girl; it's that she would literally embarrass the family. It would be an embarrassment to the family if you married this girl. So he says, then you're actually not allowed to marry her. It's not just the parents say, like, oh, we don't think she's a good girl for you. We think you could do better or whatever. So it's a case where it would be literally be an objective embarrassment to the parents. So then you're mechuyev because he says that's a different isser than just kibud av ve'eim. That's one of the arurs in the Hargrizim Har'evil. What's the lashon over there? Arur something of ve'ima. What? What? What's the lashon over there? Mikalel? No, not Mikalel. They're talking about a person who disgraces his parents. So that's a different level of lacking kibud avein. So again, all these things need to be approached on a case by case basis. But it's also important to know the halacha. The halacha is that you're not mechuyev to listen. Now, so the question is this, why is this? So the Marik's reason for this is because this is all outside what's considered kibud av aim. This is not part of it. Kibud av aim is to be mechabed them by servicing them and to not disrespect them by contradicting them and sitting in their seat, and you should stand up when they walk in the room, etc., etc. But it doesn't mean you have to listen to every word they say. You're not a slave. You're not a robot. So that therefore he says that these things, where you learn Torah, what shul you daven in, whom you marry, these are all outside of the realm of kibud av aim. Makleh, right? So he says if it would be a cologne, if it would be a disgrace to your parents, so then that would be too much. Then you'd be in violation of that, and you're not allowed to marry the girl. That's an etziv's chiddush in the Meshiv Davar about this. But okay, not everybody agrees to it. However, so this is all within this mahalach of the Marik, and perhaps this is the kavana of Tosfos as well. It's hard to know what Tosfos' kavana is, because Tosfos, on one hand, says there are things that are outside the purview of kibud av aim, but on the other hand, it's not. It's very broad. What is inside kibud av aim? So the yeah.
All these things are presumably. Tosfos' definition seems to be if they enjoy that you almost listening to the words is enough.
Right. Right. So
all these things are still in trouble.
Correct. Correct. And that's what there's a very, very long piece in the Rabbi Yerucham Fischel Perla's Ha'aris on this, not Ha'aris, whatever, his Sefer on Rav Saad Yagon. Rav Saad Yagon wrote a poem, right, that talks about the Tariag Mitzvos. People call it the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Saad Yagon. It's not a Sefer, it's a poem. He wrote a poem that tells you all the mitzvos, according to him, and Rabbi Yerucham Fischel Perla made it into a three-volume Sefer. So he has lengthy discussions of every mitzvah, and it's basically his sefer on the Tariq mitzvahs. And his sefer, he is Eish Lahava against the Marik, and he tries to prove from most Rishonim that Ritzono shel Adam hu kvodo. He admits that he's against certain Rishonim. He quotes the, if you got a chance to see the Ramban and his Talmidim, like the Ritva and the Rashba in Bav Metzia, it sounds very clear that only specific services to the parents are in Kibud Av Ve'Em, much like the Marik. But he tries to prove from other Rishonim that it's not so, that anything your parents really want from you, he says, Ritzono shel Adam zehu kvodo. Says doing what someone else wants, that's called honoring them. And then he says, even if it wouldn't be true that it would be kavod to listen to basically whatever they say, it would still be mora to listen to whatever they say. So to directly says, what's worse? If your father's in a debate about whether or not Obama's a good president, so he's debating back and forth whether or not you like Obama, you don't like Obama, and you say, oh, I think my father is right. Or you say, I think my father's friend is right. That's, you know, that's called machriya. You're not allowed to be machriya, your father's debate. Versus your father says, don't marry that girl. And you say, nah, I'm going to marry her anyway. Which one is a bigger disgrace? That you agreed with your father in public or whatever in a debate? Or that you basically said, I don't care what you say about something very important in my life? So he says, clearly it's an iser mitzad mora to go against your parents. So then he says, so where do these halachas come from that you don't have to listen to your parents when it comes to learning Torah, and when it comes to marriage and things like that? So what would be the answer to that? How come you're not mechuyev to listen to them under these circumstances? So are you mechuyev to listen to them in every circumstance? What do you say?
You have to be inclined to say no. The reason why?
What would be the reason why?
Is there a way to say that their scope just doesn't go as far as one, I think?
No, but he's basically suggesting, and he has Rishonim that seem to say that the scope of Kibud Av Ve'Em is very, very broad. Very broad.
Even if you would say the concept is when someone listens to you, you get covered out of that.
Right.
It doesn't mean your father or mother has the right to go as far as certain areas.
Whether they have the right, meaning everyone agrees, we mentioned this last time also, everyone agrees that the parents are mechuyev not to do that. Right, everyone agrees that the parents are not allowed to. Right, I'll read you from Sif Yates. Asur la'adim lahachbid olo al banav. It's asur for a man to place a heavy yoke upon his son. Uladaktek bechvodo imoim shelo yiviem lidei michshol. Right, it's lifnei iver for a parent to be so medaktek in their kavod against their children. Ela yimchol v'yalim einav mehem sha'av shemachla kvodo kvodo machu. Rather, you should try to be mochel as much as possible because you have the right to do so. And then he says, further, hamake livnoa gadol, a person who hits his son who's an adult, right? An adult is not as much as we think, right? He says 22 years old or so, 24 years old. But either way, he says, you hit your son who's an adult. And nowadays, obviously, things have changed. If you would hit a kid above a certain age, not saying you should hit them in general, but if you live in a house where it's normal to hit, so even once you pass a certain age, you're not allowed to hit them anymore. Minadin oso, you excommunicate him. Shari over al lifneiver lo sitin michshol. He's violating lifneiver. Because the kid is going to be tempted at a certain age, the kid doesn't want to be hit anymore. And the kid's going to want to hit him back. And that's a huge lifneiver. A kid who hits his father is chayav misa. So you can't just beat the kid up all the time and try to get him to do what you want because you think it works or whatever, because you're violating lifneiver ad kedekach that they actually excommunicate. So from mitzad the parents, they're not supposed to make it difficult for you to serve them. But lemaisa, if they do, then you have to listen. So what wouldn't you have to listen to? What wouldn't you have to listen to? So it seems like the only things that you don't have to listen to are things that enter into the realm of Ishimo Vaviv Tiro Veshev Sose Tishmaru. You have a chiv to do mitzvos. Now, why don't I have to listen to my father when it comes to Talmud Torah? Because it's a mitzvah to learn Torah. Kulchem chayav mechvodi. I don't have to listen to my parents when they tell me, learn in this yeshiva, and I think I'm going to learn better in that yeshiva. I don't have to listen to my parents when they tell me, marry this girl, and I want to marry that girl. It's a mitzvah to get married and have children, have a good family. You could serve Hashem so much better from a familial setting than you can from a yachid setting. And therefore, you're allowed to marry the girl that you want to marry. You're allowed to, you don't have to listen, because that's a Torah obligation to get married to the girl that you want to marry. To get married to the right girl, not to get married to the girl that your parents decided is the right girl. And therefore, by the way, they might be right. It's very important to keep in mind, all these cases, your parents might be right. So, especially in areas of marriage, for whatever reason, there's a tremendous yetzer hara to listen to advice when you're, let's say, I don't know what it was for me, like when I was, when myself and my friends were of dating age, so we listened to a lot of advice from each other, thinking that we all knew something. Yeah, the friend has been, he's engaged, he really knows a lot. He's been married for 6 months, he really knows a lot. He has a kid, whew, he's a Bucky Nifla in this area, as opposed to your parents who've been, hopefully successfully married for however long. So they have a lot to offer in these areas. They know a lot. So it's important to keep that in mind. But Lu Yitzur, you actually took them seriously and you, for whatever reason, concluded that it's just their own mishigas, that they decided I should marry a rich girl. I don't want to marry a rich girl. Marrying a rich girl has a lot of complications. I don't know firsthand, but I know that, whatever, you marry into a rich family, it's often very, very good when rich people marry rich people and average people marry average people. It's a much smoother transition for everybody involved. And if you're going to marry into a family that's way above your pay grade, you better be ready to step up your game. So the whatever, it's not so posh. So anyway, the parents might have a lot to say, but nevertheless, if you've determined your parents decided you can only marry a rich girl and you want to marry a girl who's not rich, but you're in love with her, or that you, even if you're not so in love with her, but you see it's such a great shidduch, such a good match, you want to try it out. So you're allowed to do so, because that's part of the chiyuv of the Torah. It's part of what the Torah was mechayev you to do. You're supposed to have a life together with your family that's not necessarily your parents all the time, right? That's what we says in Parshas Bereishis. So what does it say in Parshas Bereishis? Well, yes, but more importantly, yeah, Al Kain, what? Yazov ishes aviv ezimo vidavik beishto. Person leaves his parents' home and he clings to his wife. That's normal. So you have the right to do what the Torah considers to be normal. You're allowed to not, after a while, to avoid listening to every word your parents say, and you're allowed to get married. So all that's under the realm of Ishimo Vaviv Tiro Veshav Soset Tishmaru. But if your parents say, Stan, jump up and down 10 times, going to make me really happy, then you got to jump up and down 10 times to make them happy. It's not just saying like, but Dad, what good is it going to do you if I jump up and down 10 times? No, the answer is you have to do it. It's tzivui of the father, either mitzad kavod or mitzad mora. So what is this whole machlokas based on? And before we get to what is the machlokas based on, the last nekuda that Tosus brought up was kibra ve'aim for aviv rasha. Right? Kibra ve'aim. So Tosus states unequivocally that if your father was a rasha, you would not be mechuyev to honor him. Is that really true? Is that really true? You're not mechuyev to honor your father if he's a rasha? So what is the svara? So before we even get to the svara, is he right? So he's not right. How do I know he's not right? Because there's a Gemara, and you guys had a chance to see the Tur Beis Yosef. I didn't put it on the sheet for some reason. I don't know why. Should have put it on the sheet. Is it there? Oh, there it is. Excellent. Okay, good job. So he quotes, Kosav Arambam, Mamzer chay bechvod aviv v'imo morao afal pishu poter al makosam kilolason ad shiyasan tshuva. Now, how did you get to be a mamzer? It's your parents' fault, but that's not. We're not even worried about it being their fault, right? They did a terrible avera. They did, at the very least, and they violated los asayish bo karis. So people who are chayv karis and haven't done tshuva for the karis, we generally call them rishayim. And that you're if your father afilo hoya aviv rasho balaveros mechabdo misyari mimeno. That's the Rambam shita, that even when your parents are rishoyim, you have to honor them and you have to respect them. V'nira li, says the Tur, kevan shu rasha eino chayev bechvodo And he has a good raya, the Gemara in Bava Kama, Gabe Hiniach Lenavi Parim Para Gezula. Right, and so too they talk about in Bava Metzia when they left over a lot of loans that were gained from charging interest and things like that. You have to give the children, have to give back the interest because of Kibud Aveim. So the Gemara says, or you have stolen property. Your father was a great ganav and he left you all this great stolen property. What do you do with it? Yeah, well, that's what he's quoting here. So he's saying, here that you have to return it because of Kibud Aveim. Aye, the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? Holo osamaisa amchahu. He's not doing Jewish things. He's a thief. Upirish. The ein chayav mechvodo umishani kishasa tshuva. He's doing. He already did tshuva. So that's the Gemara, that's the big raya that they have. So okay, if you get a chance, look in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef has a discussion of defending the Rambam over here. So you should check it out. But we're not going to discuss the actual raya. But there's a very strong basis for saying that there's no chiyuv of kibud aveim for a parent who's a rasha. Nevertheless, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, so they get a little bit divided among party lines. Not completely, But the Mechaber Paskins like the Rambam, that a mamzer is chayiv in kibud aveim, and where is it over here? Did I put it on the sheet also? Sif Yud Ches. Mamzer chai bekibur av of Moro, afilo hoya av of Rosh, balaveres mechabim siyari mimenu. So says the Ramah, yeshomrim deinu mechuyiv lechabed av of Rosh, elim kinasa tshuva. So the Ramah paskins like the Tur and Tosfos, etc., that you're not chai if you mechabed your parents unless they did tshuva. And the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam, that you chayav to mechaber your parents even if they're Rishoyim. Now nobody says you're supposed to be mitzair them, supposed to, you know, dafka go out of your way to be a bad son, but you're allowed to not be a good son. So that seems to be the psak of the Ramah. Okay, there's more to say about that in terms of, there's a long Taz over there. If you get bored one day, you can check out the Taz Sifkat and Yitzayin and the Shach. Right, so he says, and that's the Shach just mentions what I said. Miu afal pishen amachuyev l'chabdo asur l'tzaro. So you're not allowed to do anything actively bad to your parents. You just don't have to be the best son in the world. So that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch based along the party lines. The Rambam says you're chayiv. Tosfos says you're not chayiv. And Tur Paskins like Tosfos based on that Gemara in Bava Kama and Gemara in Bava Metzia, etc. So what is the whole argument? And I want to suggest, I don't think it's such a big chiddush to say, that the whole machlokes be kibud aveim aviv Russia, not Russia, versus how broad-reaching is the chiyuv of kibud aveim. L'chora, you could say it's all tolui on these different achronisha chakiras that people like to say over. So what do I mean by that? I mean, the Minchas Chinuch is famous for making the chakira of is kibud aveim a din de orais? Excuse me, is it a din bein adam la chavero or a din bein adam la makom? Right, so we know that it's on which side of the aseres adibros?
Right side.
It's on the right side. What's the right side? It's on the bein adam la makom side. So it's a kavedas avicha vesimecha is number 5. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bein adam la makom, and then you have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bein adam la chavero. What? I don't remember. I remember. What? Right. But that's not the Saras Adibros thing. That Saras Adibros thing, there is strong sources for it. I for some reason it's escaping me right now. But let's see about that. I don't know if you remember one year Erev Shavuos, Rabbi Foreman came to DRS on a Thursday night. He gave a whole Torah on the splitting up of the Luchos and Dafka, showing you how the split works. But he mentioned the original source, I think, for that Chilik. But even so, whatever the issue is over there, so still we're not sure what's the Nafkamina, if it's Ben al-Nachaver, Ben al-Mamakam. So Minchas Chinuch has a Nafkamina, the easiest Nafkamina out there. What's the easiest Nafkamina for Ben al-Nachaver versus Ben al-Nachaver? You have to ask Mechila. Right, so young kid, you're a terrible son, or even if you're a good son, but you didn't do as well as you should have. So you're a terrible son, and you call your parents Erev Yom Kippur, and you say, please, mom and dad, be mochel me for not being as good of a son as I could have been. And they say, no, we're very angry at you, and we're not mochel you. So do you have the right to say, haha, I don't care, because I'm going to do tshuva ben elam lemakom anyway, and if you don't want to be mochel me, that's not my problem. I'm going to be a much better son next year, and that's all I need. Right? I officially renounce my ways of being a not such a good son, and now I'm going to be a very good son. So that's, is that good enough? Or no, you have to actually get mechila. Right? Like ben elam lechavero. If you're mean to somebody and you do wrong by them, you have to get their mechila in order for Yom Kippur to help you. Otherwise, Yom Kippur doesn't do you any good. So that is the suffix that the Minchas Chinuch has. Fine. Let's just, before we apply that to here, just say one more thing. There's also a discussion based on the Yerushalmi. What is the status of the Piron HaChov aspect of Kibud Avein? Right? The Yerushalmi has a lashon that Kibud Avein is like a payback to your parents. It's like paying back a debt. You owe them a tremendous debt, financially, physically, and you have to pay it back via Kibud Avein. Or maybe no, it has nothing to do with Piron HaChov. That Yerushalmi is just, it's waxing poetic about, what it means to be a kid. Kids have an unpayable debt that they're never going to be able to pay back. So, like my mother always tells me, the way you pay me back is by, raising your own kids. Right? That's, you don't have to try to pay me back by taking care of me. Pay me back by taking care of your children. So that's what most parents want. Nevertheless, the Yerushalmi used such a lashon. But you could say, it didn't really mean it's mamash a Piron HaChov. What do you mean Piron HaChov? How could you say it's Mishel Av if it's a Piron HaChov that you never, how much money your parents spent on you, so you're going to spend that much money in return? Sometimes, if God forbid you have medical conditions and whatever, you can actually somehow figure out a way to pay back the money. But it's not, you're not going to be able to pay back the time and the effort, etc. It's just not the way, it works. It doesn't work, you're not going to do it. So that's another Shiloh within the Achronisha Chakiris. And all along these lines of Akoras HaTov, right, Rav Moshe has the tshuva about the Giores being a mechabed your parents. His suggestion was that you're chayev to be mechabed your parents. Even a Ben Noach is chayev to mechabed their parents. Mitzad Akoras HaTov. You have a chiyev Akoras HaTov to any person. And if a woman converts to Judaism and now she's not going to treat her former parents with any respect whatsoever, because she's going to explain to them the sugya of Gershon is Geir, Kikotin Shinola Dummy. Good luck, right? No, you don't understand. You're not going to tell her any Lamda Shavart. She's just going to be like, my kid used to be a good daughter, now she's a bad daughter. What else do I need to know? So he said, Mitzad Hakara Satov, and not to be a Kafoy Tov, not to be an ingrate, you're supposed to give your mother a certain amount of respect. How much respect? As much respect as the world wouldn't consider you an ingrate. If the world, nowadays, the amount of respect you need to give parents is very little. Very, very little. Right? It's not considered a maila at all to be, it's fun. It's just in general, it's a general mahalach that's different between the rest of the world and the Jewish people. Not that we haven't been affected by it. And so I was talking to somebody during the day after Tisha B'Av, somebody said, oh, you didn't shave yet? So this person was talking to me about beards in general. He said, I watched the Chofetz Chaim Heritage video, and I saw all the Rabbanim. He says, it's such young faces, and they all have these white beards. They look so old. I don't understand the whole idea. It's a hadras punim just to make yourself look old. So I said, it's actually in the Torah. Being old is a good thing. Doesn't mean, old and decrepit is a good thing, but being old is considered a sign of stateliness. It's considered a sign of experience and positive thing. We in America think being old means you're over the hill and you're finished and you have nothing to offer the world. But in the Torah, being a zaken is a big deal. It's a very positive thing. So it's just a different in the way we look at things. So in America today, or whatever, probably the whole world, Avdafka, I just only know about America because that's where I am. But it's not considered such a big deal to give honor to your parents anymore. It's not, they don't know how to use smartphones, they don't know how to use computers so well, so they're not tech savvy, they're obviously useless people. What? So they don't know what they're doing, so how could they actually be smart? Because my three-year-old daughter knows how to use an iPhone and makes her very smart. Trust me, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. So the So the bottom line is not so easy. So it'd be a very low level of Akaras HaTov that nowadays people say you need to have for your parents. But nevertheless, you have to have some Akaras HaTov for the parents. So what is the whole, what makes Kibud Av V'Em work? What puts the wheels into motion? So L'chari, you could say that this debate that we're having in terms of what's the entire spectrum of Kibud Av V'Em is totally on this machlokas. If you say Kibud Av V'Em is a din, either like the Minchas Chinuch's Lashon of Bein Adam L'Chaveru, or it's a din in Piron HaChov or Akoras HaTov. So if you say that Mahalach, so then you would suggest that it has a much broader spectrum than just personal service, right? Because you have to have unlimited Akaras HaTov to your parents. How could you have anything less than unlimited Akaras HaTov? They did everything for you. They brought you into this world. They took care of you. They saved your life a million times over. They gave you to eat, to drink. They gave you an education. Right? The only reason you think you're smarter than your parents is because they gave you an education. So there's nothing you can do in this world without what they did for you. So you're ever going to be able to pay that back? No way. You can't do it. All the skills and the abilities that you're using to pay them back are theirs. So Mela, there's no limit. When they tell you to violate the Torah, in Echinam, you're not allowed to violate the Torah. So those things that fall into the category of Ishimova of Tiro, so those things, you don't have to listen to them. But everything else, of course you have to listen to them. So how could you disrespect them after everything they've done for you? And it doesn't matter which Achronish Lashon you use, of Piron HaChov, of Bein Adam L'Chaveru, it all fits under this umbrella. Mashenkin, if you say that it's a mitzvah Bein Adam L'Makom, like you say, Shlosha Shutfin Ba'adam, you have three partners. So when it comes to serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, so obviously there's a concept of going with Nimi Shuris Adin, but we have Taryag Mitzvos. We have, these are the things that Hashem is Mechayiv you to do. He's not Mechayiv you to do more than that. This is the spectrum that is encompassed by the Torah. And there's mitzvahs to do this, and there's mitzvahs not to do that. So too, by Kibud Av V'Em. There's specific chiyuvim. Machil, mashke, whatever, molech, maybe, whatever. I'm talking more about shaking a lulav than I am about your parents. But you help them out. You give them service. And that is considered what the Torah is mechayev you in. Mashenkin, other things that they don't have anos aguf from, and even under the general idea of mora, you're not dafka mechayev to listen to every single thing that they say. You're mechayev to listen to the things that they say that the Torah, that Chazal said, these are the official boundaries of mora avayim. You shouldn't contradict them, you shouldn't be machriya, you should stand up when they come in the room, etc., etc. It doesn't mean dafka that you have to do every single thing that they say, because we're looking at it as a mitzvah bein adam l'makom. We're looking at it as a general din of the same way Hashem wants you to mechabit him using the taryag mitzvah, so too there's a mitzvah kibud av v'em, you're supposed to, and it has limits. It's not, it's specifically confined to certain areas. So l'chora, that's the nafkamina when we were talking about whom you marry and which yeshiva you learn in. So you can look at it one of those two ways, either because they're telling you to violate a mitzvah, or no, because that's not in the realm of Kibud Av V'Em. So too, Kavod Aviv Rasha. Right? What do you mean Kavod Aviv Rasha? You can't have a Akaras HaTov to a Rasha? You can have a Akaras HaTov to a Rasha. A Rasha could lend you $1 million. Now I owe $1 million to Rasha. You could even argue that most people who are owed $1 million are not necessarily the biggest tzaddikim on earth. You could argue that some of them are the biggest tzaddikim on earth, whatever you want to say. But it's certainly not indicative one way or the other. Right? A guy owes somebody else $1 million, right? There are a lot of loan sharks out there who are big Rishoyim, and they're owed millions and millions of dollars. Right? So what, you don't have to pay him back because he's a Rasha? You have to pay him back. So if you borrowed money from somebody, you have to pay him back. If a Rasha does something nice for you, you have to have a Akaras HaTov to that Rasha. So if your parents are Rishoyim, you still have to honor them because it's a din in Akaras HaTov. It's a din Bein Adam L'Chaveru. It's a din Piron HaChov. And therefore, you're chayev to pay back what they gave you, even though they happen to be Rishoyim. See, the truth is, you're a mamzer, and you're going to have a very difficult life. You're never going to be able to have a family. You're never going to be able to live a normal life in the Jewish community, per se. On the other hand, there are tons of other things you can do. You can serve Hashem very, very well as a mamzer also. You're not necessarily as happily, not necessarily as fulfilled, but there are plenty of things that you can do as a mamzer, and they gave that all to you. You could become a Talmud Chacham, you could become a tzaddik, you could become a millionaire, whatever you want. I mean, you could do both, but the it doesn't... you can do anything you want. So you have to have a lot of akarsa tov to your parents for that. If it's a mitzvah ben elam makom, so Hashem is dafka telling us you have to be machabed, you know, mamzer makers, you have to be machabed rishayim. No, Hashem said you have to be machabed people who are actual partners with me, not people who are, you know, shady partners with me who do all kinds of bad business deals behind my back. So Hashem is not machayev you to be machabed your parents if they're rishayim. He's not machayev you to do everything that they say. You know, so that could be the determining factor. Now again, it's very important to note, like you saw in the tshuva from Rav Sternbuch, that even when we make these hagdaros, number one, there is an inyan of lefnim mishuras hadin in all these categories, that you could do better. Just because you're not mechuyev to mechabe your parents doesn't mean you shouldn't. But also, number two, is that it's not always so clear. Like Rav Sternbuch pointed out, sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to have to hire somebody to do that, so I'm not mechuyev to actually do that because that's going to cost me money. Really? Are you actually have to hire? Let's say your parents say, I need you to clean my house. Right? So I'll have to hire a maid to clean their house. So, no, you can go clean it yourself. Go clean the house yourself. I'm not a maid. I'm not a professional cleaner. So you say, oh, too bad. Become a professional cleaner and do a good job. Right? So you say, no, so I'm going to have to spend my money to hire somebody else. So that is Mishal HaBen. That the son is chayev to pay. So a lot of these hagdaros, even though we draw up specific guidelines, you have to make sure that your cases actually fall into these guidelines. Not always so obvious. But nevertheless, I think a lot of this debate of these types of categories falls under this general chakira, Beit Olam HaMakom versus Beit Olam HaChavero, slash all these other lashonos that we use. Yeah. Leave it at that.